It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
We lost again. It's the Football Sack Podcast, and my name is Jack, and I have Christian and Pat with me, as I always do, and we're here to dissect yet another loss for the Socceroos at the 2014 World Cup.
Got used to it.
I'm fine with it. It's our last defeat of the World Cup. We've locked that in. Can't lose any more games from here on in, so that's good.
It's positive.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go over that and the other games, but obviously we'll mainly focus on the Socceroos. We'll kick off the show while the music's still going by thanking our major sponsor, Banking on Football. We have some news about them to come on tomorrow's show, but in the meantime, go to bankingonfootball.com and check them out. Get a great deal on your banking and score cash for your grassroots club at the same time. And also thanks to Southern Cross University, who let us record here in their studios. Gents, how are we?
Well, even though we lost, I love the fact that you can tell it's going to be a good, we've got a good vibe when all three of us are bopping to that theme tune at the start.
It's hard not to bop to that theme tune. It's a good theme
moves.
Tune.
Good moves.
Australia 3, Spain 0. The pain is over. We've conceded 3 to Spain, and really, there's not a lot of shame in it. I think we kind of expected more. I think the fact that we expected more shows how far we've come in a very short space of time.
I think so. At the start of the World Cup, we were saying, can we score a single goal? Can we, you know, keep to 5 goals against every match? All sorts of things.
And yeah.
We genuinely went in with the hope that we could snare a point or even a win against Spain. So
our only recent form against top-class sides was back-to-back 6-0 humpings. So they were genuine concerns. Can we keep it to 5 goals a game? So I'm not going to throw out all the good work they did after one bad result. I'm still proud of the boys.
That's right. And they still had good periods of play. It wasn't a complete wipeout. Yes, Spain had some good plays, and yes, we made some crucial errors. You won't hide that away. But there were periods of play where we were the dominant side. Not exactly for as much as we were against Netherlands or Chile, how we had extended periods of times. We had times when we were. While we struggled to create any real goal-scoring chances, in 4 years to come, we've got another 4 years under Ange to develop, and we'll get our other youth. You know, we'll have a whole new batch of players coming to the A-League as well, and new discoveries in the European leagues who are Australian. We'll be okay.
One positive out of last night's game was we were saying, how are we going to have creativity without Rogic in the team? Ryan McGowan got 2 assists. That's good.
2 assists?
What? Yeah. It's a joke.
Oh, okay. I thought you were being serious. I'm thinking to myself, we didn't even score.
Pat's there getting his fingers up 3-0 going. Yeah,
what game were you watching?
There was a lot of the 6-0 games about Ryan McGowan last night. But
isn't he very slow?
Yes.
We'll
go into it. Let's go goal by goal. We'll start with the first goal. Davavia showing us a little bit of what we'll see for Melbourne City in the A-League.
I think all of Melbourne are very, very excited and half to seeing.
I think everyone else in the A-League is very terrified.
Yeah, exactly.
He's still very good.
Yeah, he put out defence at sixes and sevens a lot of the time.
What was Del Boss doing not playing him for the first two games? He's just so much better than Costa.
I think he was just saving him for the big match against Australia.
By the time they're out of the tournament.
Yeah, you think if he played the first two games, that he could have made a bit of a difference.
Let's start and go through the goals one by one. We'll start with David Villa's goal. It was some pretty schoolboy defending, wasn't it?
It was. It was very, we've given a lot of credit to Jason Davidson, you know, both in his attacking play and general defensive play.
Yeah, he earned it in the first two games.
He did,
yep.
But he also, who was he? Was it the Chile goal? He kept someone onside.
Van Persie's goal.
Van Persie's goal. And we thought, okay, it might have just been a mix-up, but he's gone and done the exact same thing again. So it's obviously a problem in his game. And that's obviously now been identified by us. So we'll pass on to Ange to pass on to Jason.
Can't wait for Ange to get our notes on Hyrule. There was the amount of sort of, you heard Craig Foster groan in the build-up because you could just see it coming a mile away. The defending for that first goal reminded me of, you know, the team, the Washington Generals, that the Harlem Globetrotters always play against, and they kind of just get paid to just stand there and get beaten and not, like, they'll be spinning the ball on their finger and they won't take it.
You're watching it and you're thinking to yourself, someone should be trying to get the ball off the Spanish player.
Yeah, that's right. Don't
We're trying to tackle him. We're trying to defend some kind.
You're watching it going, oh, he's making a run behind you. If you don't try and block, oh, no, he's passed it. Oh, here comes V. You better go. Nah, you're not going to go. Oh, goal. Yeah. So that was how I said. McGowan stood there sort of just pointing at David Villa. Yeah. Mate, don't just point at him. Go stand next to him. He's probably pointing going, that guy, he's going to score. I reckon that guy there.
I've got a theory on
that. He was actually given pointers to Zelko, saying, this guy, quickly.
Get on him. Quick, live betting.
I've got a theory on why Spain was so good this game. The amount of back heels.
Yeah, there was a lot.
There was a lot of back heels.
It was like watching Brett Emerton in his prime.
Brett Emerton. That's why we went so good in 2006, was Brett Emerton's back heels.
Yep.
They're a class above.
There was a lot of back heels. Quick word on the Curitiba pitch. Shithouse is the word that springs to mind.
Oh, mate, wasn't it terrible? I reckon that was half the reason why we kept losing the ball.
Yeah, let's blame that.
That's what Halloran was saying. He's pointing at the grasshole.
Mate, he's got to be pointing at his own feet. Tell you what, I was playing a game with myself during the match. It was, how many different ways can Halloran lose possession? Okay. And I lost fingers and toes. I couldn't keep count of them all. It was ridiculous.
Were you chopping digits off? Wow, that's very masochistic. We'll come on to the players individually, but let's a few other things about the match or the panel. We should also, the SBS panel. John Aloisi almost falling off the end of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of people on that panel, wasn't there?
It was like at a bus stop, and it was crowded. He sort of thought, oh, I can get half a cheek on this seat here. I don't have to stand up. So,
well, he wasn't actually supposed to be there. He just rocked up, and it felt too bad to say.
That's
so.
Honestly what it looked like. We said yesterday, we joked about, oh, I think yesterday or the day before, that he just seems to be on every channel talking about the World Cup. Mate, they've got Franjic on. Take the night off.
I enjoyed Franjic.
Franjic was good.
If you look back through the video, if you look at him, he looks like a statue the whole time. He does not move the whole time. When he's just sitting there, he's like this. He could be a statue working, busking.
Yeah, Pat's giving the visual for this.
He's like this the whole time. He's talking.
Stop saying like this. It's not great radio.
No one can see, can they?
No. So he's...
Yeah, cut that.
His career after football, he's going to be one of those people that stand at Circular Quay and paint themselves silver.
Mate, you make millions. You make millions.
Do you remember when the Chasers, they actually... He's got a statue painted gold, put it there, and it made like $80 in half an hour.
Oh, really? Did they really? That's outstanding. At halftime, obviously, Australia started quite well. I actually missed the first 20 minutes, which everyone's saying
you should have seen the first 10 seconds. We were on fire, weren't we?
Oh, amazing.
We had like a
100% possession.
Yeah. We had a chance straight away. Oh. I thought we were on. I'm going, oh, here we go, we're on. But then, yeah, it just went downhill after that.
No, again, we started really well. It was every match we've managed, because our first match, our first 8 minutes was actually really good. Then we conceded. Our next match was the next, what was it, 23 minutes, whatever it was. And this match, we actually played really well for a lot longer. Our starts are getting increasingly better. So if we keep increasing by that amount every time we play, in 4 years, we'll just reach 93 minutes.
I missed the first 20 minutes because...
But the problem is, if it goes an extra time, we're then screwed.
Yeah. Well, that's got to get it. Got to get the job done in 90 minutes. Just got to get it done. I missed the first 20 minutes. This is my third attempt at telling the story because Christian keeps interrupting. Because I never sleep well if I know there's like a big event that I have to get up for in the morning. So if it's a Socceroos game or like the Masters golf, I'll have to get up for. So I go to bed really early, but I'm always really restless. And I find even if I set an alarm, I wake up two or three times thinking, oh, is it time yet? Woke up last night and thought, oh God, Socceroos, and shot upright in the bed. And I leaned over and shook my girlfriend and cause I didn't wake her up for the Netherlands game. And I got in trouble because of how good a game it was. And she said, you should have woken me. So I got her up and we sort of went downstairs and turned on the TV and the game wasn't on. And I was freaking out thinking, why isn't it on? I'm late. Then I looked at my watch and it was 20 past 12. I hadn't checked the time before I got out of bed. I just got it in such a state of panic. So I went back to bed and safe to say I wasn't the most popular bloke. It's just a little fire drill. And went back to bed and then slept through my actual proper alarm because I was so exhausted from not sleeping well and missed the first 20 minutes of the game. But I did wake Gabby up and she came downstairs and watched until we went 2-0 down and then said, no, this is not as good as you promised me it would be, and went back to bed. She was right to do.
That's supposedly the moral of this whole World Cup is Jack hasn't seen any good bits.
All the good bits I've missed. Yeah.
You missed when we've actually played well.
But thank goodness I saw the first two games. Anyway, at half time, they crossed to whatever league's club that is that SBS like to cross to for some reason during half time. But our mate Brendan Shakes, who can't sit up, can't sit down, he's had a few of those good moments. He had another good one last night. I wasn't able to get the soundbite, but I did get the quote from him. He said, Socceroos fans didn't have much to cheer in that first half. Plenty to cheer in the first 15 minutes, but not much after that.
He does it on purpose, surely.
Didn't have much to cheer in that first half. Plenty to cheer in the first 15 minutes.
You ought to be, you know, I'm just thankful they don't quote us on their shows.
Yeah, well, because nobody listens to us, that's why. Another quote that I thought was noteworthy was when Australia made the tactical move to bring on superstar Ben Halloran with his electrifying pace that we've all heard so much about.
Impact player.
Yeah, David Bashir. Here comes Halloran. Loves running at defenders.
Well, see, that's unfair. I've seen him run at plenty of defenders, just not around them. He just literally goes straight at them.
Yeah, I'll say that. I'll say that.
Crashes into them.
And that's not a joke. It's literally what he does. He goes, I'm going to go through that. Oh, no, he's actually a person. Can't go through.
You know when we play golf and we rock behind a tree or something, we say
80% air.
80% air. That's what he thinks when he goes runs straight at a defender. He thinks that the ball will go straight through the defender. Yeah. It doesn't, mate.
Yeah. He's just like, he's been told to run at defenders and he just takes it in a literal sense. Knocks the ball past them, crashes into them. Did I do good, coach? No, you did not do good.
Players, you should be getting a penalty. I'm like, mate.
You've given away a foul.
Interesting fact about Ben Halloran. Colorblind.
Is he really?
He is. So I've heard, I've spoken to some of his coaches in the past, and they used to
Does that affect his spatial awareness?
I know, but they used to give, used to put similar coloured bibs onto players in training, so because, you know, his awareness was poor or whatever. So rather than rely on colour, because he can't, they gave him bibs which looked the same to a colourblind person, so you've actually got to, you know, look at eye contact and work out what you're doing.
Really?
Really.
Mm. Interesting point.
Mm. I think he needs...
Didn't help.
He needs to go see an optometrist again. I think he's starting to lose his vision.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe he's not colourblind, he's just blind.
He was my dud as well. He's... Yeah, come Trump.
See, haven't you come
He's exceeded
out...
expectations.
Australia's limped out of this tournament. Paddy's coming home triumphant on the plane.
Until someone mentions, who was your number one pick?
Matty Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that cancels that out. I think not a disastrous tournament, but certainly not one of our best and not one of our stars. My tip was Matthew Leckie, I believe, to
bang
shine.
On. I like it.
And my tip to Shank, I can't even remember who my tip to Shank was, but... Alex Wilkinson, I think it was. So I'll concede that he's been okay. Yeah.
He's solid.
Yeah. Well done, Wilco.
And I had Sprajnovic as my star.
Yeah, so I think he's starred.
I honestly believe he's been our best player.
Yeah.
And
I think Lecky's probably been our best. Yeah. I think Lecky's probably just been slightly better, but certainly Sprajnovic.
We'll rock off for it to see who wins it.
Yes.
And my flop was Tommy Orr.
Well, bang on. Yeah. Mm. Right. Well, there we go. Ooh, they're tight. I don't know who to give that to because you have picked correctly your star and your dud, but Pat's dud was such a big dud that he gets more points. We had, of course, the pleasure of having Craig Foster on commentary again. Foz, full of passion. Some of his great quotes in this tournament we've been through during the Netherlands game. We were down 3-2 in the last minute, and he said, the ball's got to go forward. Chile, we were down 2-1. Got to push, push, push. His quote after the Netherlands game, if we had their players, we would have won. Came in with the goods last night, just saying, when we turned over the ball, Spain got on the break, Foz chimed in with, we need to get back here. The bloke sees around corners. He can see things that we don't see watching the game.
Well, there's a reason he's chief analyst at SBS and we're not, okay?
Yeah, that's the difference. Mm. I was thinking, let them run. So was Ryan McGowan.
Ryan McGowan, he was another dud, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Turning circle of an elephant.
The thing with Ryan McGowan is he came on against Chile and I thought did okay, played okay against the Netherlands. It was last night was his first. It looked like those Brazil-France friendlies last night.
He had the same performance in the warm-up matches, though, playing against South Africa and such, where he just lost so much possession. It was just not funny. I mean, the truth is, he probably shouldn't have been playing this whole World Cup. It's due to injury that he came in here. But then again, half our team should have been playing. I mean, Matt McKay, our best performer on the night, we probably would have been, you know, only 50-50 to make the squad if we had a full
I don't think he does make the squad. Mm. No, absolutely not. But yeah, we'll come on to individual player ratings, as I said, but Troisi, I thought, came on, had an impact on the game, looked good. At one point, he played a pass, and Bashir said, looking for Halloran, and the ball just went directly out of play and into the stand. And I thought, well, to be fair, I'd probably start by looking in the crowd as well, because he's not out on the pitch as far as I can tell. We want to go what we've learned from this tournament, and we want to look at player ratings. But let's go from last night's performance. We'll go through the players first. Matt Ryan didn't have heaps to do, made a couple of saves, but he'll be disappointed with the third goal through his legs.
Yep.
Yeah, probably. In saying that, you know, our defence literally made him look like a sitting duck at times. As a keeper, when you're, when, you know, when Torres or Villa or Mata has a clean shot, one-on-one shot on you, you're not going to do very well. You're not going to come up on top with those three. With the shots that he made, which were sort of your normal football shots, not one-on-ones, just out of the box or with a bit of defence, he made the saves and reasonably comfortably so. Mm. With what would normally be expected of a keeper, I actually think he passed. The problem was that our defence just switched off at times and made him look stupid.
McGowan last night, I think we talked about Ryan. We won't rub his nose in it too much. I thought Wilkinson was pretty good again last night.
Yeah, you didn't really notice him, did you?
No, which tends to be a good sign for Australian defenders. If they're not making rickets, that's good. Spiranovic, good again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Come to expect that. Good luck keeping him at the Wanderers. Davidson, who was great for the first two matches, he was poor last night, wasn't he?
I still thought he was okay in attacking sense when he went forward and when he had possession of the ball. But in defence, like I said, he's just that big. So two of those goals probably came, if not directly, at least indirectly from his positioning, which was poor.
He just looked a bit physically and mentally tight from what getting up for the first two games where he was great, just the third
which
game.
Which is probably understandable. Yeah. He's young. He's not been playing at the top level for very long. Yeah. You could make an argument he's not even really
like
playing
a lot of those
at
players
the top
haven't
level
played
for his club.
First team football for very long, have they?
Yeah.
He should have done himself a favour and got his energy boost with a Protox smoothie from Boost Juice.
Yeah, snap. There we go. First promo. Go. Hey,
we're on, mate. You're on.
Protox smoothie, nutritious and delicious, balanced high protein meal in a cup. The tasty sucker contains coconut water, banana, coconut milk, because you need that with water, chocolate powder, whey, protein, and ice. Limited time at Boost Juice. Go get it before Jason Davidson drinks them all.
Well, before I drink them, because I legitimately am having a boost. And that's me finishing it off. I had originally planned to drink it whilst on air and finish it at the end of the program, but Christian was late, as he always bloody is.
Yeah.
And I'd finished it before we entered the studio. So.
Just wants to touch your lips. You couldn't stop.
Yeah, I couldn't. It was too delicious. So thanks to Boost for making that for me. It was delicious. And thanks for sponsoring the show. Mila Jedinak last night was his usual self. Solid.
I thought he was poor.
Did you? Yeah. I thought he was good.
I thought a lot of his passing was pretty ordinary.
His passing was poor, but I don't think any of the goals came from, you can, like, the winning goal for Holland was in an area of the pitch that Jedinak should have, he's thinking of probably could have got there and
absolutely
shut that down. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of the three goals last night were in an area where he could have stopped it.
Yeah, but I think he turned over the ball a lot, which
It's always been the weakest part of his game.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, to be honest, there's actually opinion in football circles that he's not playing in his best position, that he is actually a defender. And because his distribution at midfield is just not good enough. So, you know, the distribution, like I said, is a poor part of his game. His breaking up play is generally quite good. So, you know, the argument
his engine is almost too good to be a defender. He's almost wasted, though, because he can get through so much work in that defensive midfield position.
He just needs to stop hitting long balls because he hits them too long.
Yeah, well, but I think I said this to you the other day on the show. That's always been my concern with Jedinak. I've always liked his defensive roles, but his short passing is okay, but anything sort of more than 15 yards, he really, it's a 50-50 strike rate of hitting his
man. That's why he's so good at penalties, because it's, you know, it's 11 yards.
It's right on his, most of his penalties, he's trying to hit straight down the middle. He's won the other day, just snuck inside the post. Matt McKay, he was my man of the match last night. Well, man of the match for Australia, we should say. Iniesta was on a different planet last night from any of our players. He's a guy who's played in the A-League for most of his career, in Korea a little bit as well, and in Scotland.
He didn't really play in Scotland, though.
No, that's right. He lived in Scotland for a while. And he's come up against Spain and was our best player. I thought, good on Matty. He's fantastic.
He was an absolute star. Talk about an engine. That guy has one.
Yeah.
And but his positioning, his passing, his technique is very, very good, especially for a player who spent the majority of his career in the A-League. You have that. His technique is such testament to his training and his discipline to have achieved that in what, when he started, was a substandard competition.
And for a player who, it's not like he's got that role, he's honed that role over the past sort of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years. He's been used all over the place.
Well, his club football, that's his role. But, yes, Holly used him. Yes, started a bit left midfield before moving to left back, which is obviously a great decision. But now we've actually got Ange playing a player in his actual position and showing faith in him against the two World Cup finals from last year, and he's rewarded them because against Netherlands, he was great. He won us so much possession, not necessarily via his foot, but his positioning, which caused the Netherlands to do erratic passes and things like that. And against Spain, it was just great. You know, his distribution, his defensive work, he was a standout for mine. And to think even just a year ago when he was sort of slowly drifting out of Holger's plans, to think that he would have started against the two World Cup finalists in this World Cup and shone in both games is just astonishing for
Mr. McKay. And in that position as well. He was like you say, he was sort of fading out. He was fading out as the left back. Yeah. He was the backup left back. Mm. And now he's playing in the center of the park.
Central midfield.
Against the world champions and playing well. Another man who played central midfield and I thought held his own. And again, someone who 18 months ago was not on the radar to play in this sort of game in that sort of role, Oli Bozanić.
I think he came and played better against the Dutch when he came on.
Yeah.
But he didn't do terribly. I've seen some harsh criticism on him on social media this morning, but I'm not sure if they were watching exactly what he was doing.
Gee, there's some harsh markers out there.
He coughed up the ball a few times, but he's only young, isn't he?
Well, he coughed up the ball a few times, but he doesn't have the movement around him that the Spanish players do. Iniesta gets the ball, he traps it and looks up and picks the player who's running into the best position. Yeah. And he's got a few choices to make it. He chooses the best one. Bozanić last night is getting his foot on the ball and he's looking up and like Taggart's marked, Lecky's marked, Ord marked, and none of them are moving.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very, very harsh to criticise him. I thought Oli was all right. I thought Tommy Ol was poor again, to be honest. And I don't like criticising him because Christian pointed out at the start of the tournament, it's not his position. And if you play players out of position, it's very hard to criticise them for not doing it well.
It is. Although, the thing is, positionally and things like that, it's hard to criticise them because they're not used to it, but he is doing some basic errors. And that's, I think, the issue with most people. If he was still getting his passes right, he was still putting in some adequate balls, you know, he was making the right... if his technical decisions were correct, then people would be okay and say, well, he's made some positional errors and what do you expect? He's playing out of position. But he's just... he's got a case of Mitch Nichols and just screwing up some basic things.
I think his first touch is not that great at the moment. Like, last night he made a few mistakes in the box where he had a chance and he just coughed it up straight away. But yeah, overall, over the tournament, he's been pretty poor, I reckon.
I think that could just be a confidence thing, his first touch, because he never used to have a bad touch.
When he first came in, he looked great.
He was glued to his foot when he first appeared on the scene for Brisbane Roar. So he's not a bad player. Poor tournament from him. And Lecky, fantastic for the first two games. More quiet last night, but...
Yeah, I think he had a defender on him that could keep up with him last night.
Yeah, well, that was exactly what it was. Yeah. Jordi Alba, he's lightning.
Just as quick as him.
Yeah, so he was sort of nullified. But luckily, we were able to turn to our bench and bring on the blistering pace of Ben Halloran. Now, we've made a couple of jokes. We're just all sort of pausing here because we're about to unleash. I said the other day that I think Ben Halloran's responsible for starting the rumours about Ben Halloran's blistering pace. We'd not seen it. Everyone's fast when they're running without the ball. These guys are all professional athletes. They do sprint training. Everyone's fast without the ball. We were told that he gets the ball, he runs at defenders. Some of the words that we used in the build-up to the World Cup went clearly by people who had not watched him play. Blistering pace. Terrifying defenders.
Impact,
yeah, that's right. One thing that scares defenders, even at the highest level, is raw pace. I don't know if they're talking about him or someone else, because it just never arrived. Not just last night in the Croatia game.
Yeah, when I first seen him in that Croatia game, I thought, yeah, I don't know how this guy's going to play a game. And he must be impressing Ange somewhere.
Yeah.
Must be on the training pitch, I don't know how. But
I think it's a case of we just don't have anyone else. It's not a case of, well, Ben's doing so much great work at training, we have to put him in. It's actually going, well, bloody hell, who do I put in?
But he's been given a lot of game time.
Yeah. A bit of sitch or someone.
Came on very early. I mean, Taggart didn't get a lot of touches of the ball in that first half, but yeah. I'd much rather have Taggart on for the second half than Halloran. Halloran's job is to get the ball, get into space and create chances. And you're better off having a Taggart on there and he might just get a knockdown or something. Because when he came on, I tweeted saying, let's see if we hear his name again before the end of the game. I think the only time I heard it was when Troisi tried to hit that ball to him and it went out.
Very frustrating. And as I touched on before, it's his decision-making with the ball. I mean, even if he does have pace, he's doing the wrong things to show it. He's literally running straight at people. Or he's turning into a defender. Or he's just doing these basic things. He's either overawed because of the World Cup stage, or he's trying too hard to prove himself because he's got criticism, or he's just plain rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping it's one of the first two, to be honest. I really am, because the way that people talk about him, and because I said he's not playing in Australia anymore, so we can't say that we've watched him play.
Yeah.
So he may well be ripping it up overseas, but he didn't do it here.
But even sort of in that Croatia game, the couple of times where he didn't run into his man, he did the right thing, knocked it behind him, he'd knock it like 30 yards behind and go out for a goal kick. So that could be what you're talking about, the overawed, and that could just be nerves and his touches deserting him. And I will allow him the excuse of the pitch last night is not good for that type of player who needs to run with pace and needs the ball to be glued to his foot. But yeah, very poor. Troisi, I thought, I mentioned just before, thought he was great. Came off the bench and genuinely made an impact. It's not easy to come off the bench and make an impact, and I thought Troisi gave us something going forward. And Bresciano, quick word for Bresh, last World Cup game.
Came on, made an impact at his job.
Yeah. Clear, no legs whatsoever, but touch still as good as ever.
Yeah, very good. Class above.
His first touch, he was sort of in the middle of the field, and I think he controlled the ball and sort of fell on it, and two Spanish players conversion, and he stood up and left them behind with the ball, which I love watching Bresh.
Although I am disappointed he didn't go off the field crying like David Veer did in his last game.
Well, is it his last game for Australia or just his last game at the World Cup?
World Cup, probably. I mean, will he?
Definitely World Cup, but will he play the Asian Cup? Surely he will.
You'd think so.
It's only 3 or 4 months away.
Yeah, exactly. Who else do we have to be in that creative position?
Yeah.
Exactly. Unless, Tom Rogic, if he can improve in time, he might sort of take over that position.
But they would be my two number 10s in the squad for the Asian Cup, Rogic and Bresciano. I don't think you need to get rid of Bresciano, especially because we've kind of got rid of the dead wood, and I think the ones we've still got there, we should probably keep there a little bit. You know, let's not have a situation where we get rid of the last two guys who actually do have a bit of experience.
And I agree with that. I mean, because the thing is, if we take away Cahill and you take away Bresciano, like for example, the Spanish game, where are we going to score goals from?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Where are we going to score goals from against Japan? Because we'll score goals against everyone else.
Well, in the Asian Cup you're talking about. Yeah, well, Japan have looked pretty rubbish, so hopefully they bring that A game they brought to the World Cup to the Asian Cup, and we should be able to win it in second gear. That's the Socceroos wrapped up. Are we happy with that? Yep. Comprehensive? Cool. Let's move on. The other games last night, Netherlands 2, Chile 0. Robin is in some sort of form.
He's in great form, isn't he? Back to that form that he won the Champions League last year, was it? He's bringing the bacon, mate.
He's bringing the bacon.
I reckon they'll go all the way. I'm calling it early. Going all the way. He's bringing the bacon.
Right, so the Netherlands going to win the World Cup.
Netherlands going to win the World Cup on the back of Robin.
And he's bringing the bacon. Can we make it clear that you have stated that he's bringing the bacon?
He's bringing the bacon.
I don't think you've slapped the back of your hand against your palm enough times.
Bacon, mate.
What are you trying to say?
Bacon.
He's bringing the bacon. Set up a goal last night for Memphis Depay.
It's just so quick for a 31-year-old.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Is Iron Robin the biggest... age look to how fast he can run difference. Yeah. Mm. He'd have to be, sure.
He has to be. I don't know any other 76-year-old who can run that fast.
I reckon he runs faster with the ball at his feet than without a ball.
Yeah, well, he doesn't run without the ball because he doesn't care. Yeah. It's not him. He's not putting in effort for anybody else.
He just walks around until the ball finds itself at his feet. And he just goes.
But the one thing I'm disappointed about is I haven't seen a good dive from him this tournament.
Yeah, he's done a few, felt the contact and gone down, but there's been no obvious, you know, tap him on the shoulder.
One?
Yeah, the FA Cup final, I think it was, where he was tackled, slid off the pitch in the process of getting tackled. This was when he was at Chelsea and was known, his diving was more well known than his footballing abilities. And held his shin, noticed that the game wasn't stopping because he was off the pitch, and rolled onto the pitch to get the referee. That was
classic.
Yeah, we laughed a lot about that. So Netherlands with that win top the group, and that's handy because it means you avoid the host nation, who got through Brazil 4-1 over Cameroon. They have topped their group and will be joined by, well, first of all, before we go on to Mexico, Brazil-Chile, round of 16. Not bad.
I reckon Brazil be crapping themselves.
I think Chile can win that.
I think Chile can give them a good go. I mean, Brazil haven't been that great. They have probably been in second gear, and that's what makes me think they might be able to make it. We've got knockouts against another South American rival nation. Will they actually just step up and win?
Well, these tournaments are always about peaking at the end, aren't they? Italy, notoriously slow starters, but always seem to be there at the business end of tournaments. And the Netherlands often, obviously they made the final last time, but they're often the opposite. They often come out and win their three group games by three goals, then get knocked out in the second round. Mexico are through. I thought Croatia would win, but Mexico thumped them.
It was a very tough battle for most of the game, and then they just scored 3 goals in 10 minutes. And even though Mexico were on top for most of the game, you just sort of went, wow, where did that come from?
Mexico did hit the bar in the first half and had one cleared off the line before they scored, so they created a lot of chances. I was disappointed with
Do you think Mexico are the most underrated team, international team?
That is
they're always there and thereabout in every World Cup, aren't they?
6 consecutive World Cups they've made the knockout stage, which is an incredible record.
For any country that's going to win, like, a tournament outside South America and Europe, it's going to be Mexico.
It's a good shout for most underrated. Yeah,
because no one ever talks about them. They're always under the radar.
They scraped through qualification. Had to play off against New Zealand to make the World Cup. That's why they weren't highly rated.
I think Uruguay could have possibly had that title in the past. Because even though they're known as a good footballing side, they were never considered a title chance. For the last few, like obviously World Cup coming third, and then the Copa America, I think they're now known as one of the good nations, and probably Mexico's taking that up.
I think that's what you get when you take a good nation and add a world class player to it in Suarez. It's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's probably what Mexico are lacking at the moment.
It's probably a good shout as well. If Hernandez was back to the Hernandez of sort of 4 years ago, they could really go further. But we'll see. So Mexico are through. They will face the Netherlands, which will, again, be a very, very tasty football match. I can't wait for these knockout stages.
Tasty. I liked it.
It's Pat's Butchers against his underdogs.
Yeah. And Pat's
one
also...
of my teams is gone.
He's, Pat is really angling for a butcher to sponsor this podcast as well. So he's willing to give anything from 12 to 14 shout-outs to your bacon per episode. We should probably thank our other sponsors as well, because they're all fantastic. Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane. Oh, there's a bit of a game on tonight that might be worth checking out. I believe the Italians are playing, which...
Against Uruguay, of all teams. So.
There you go. So I'm sure there's pizzas there with bacon on them, Pat, if you wanted to get up there. That's a burger from an establishment that doesn't sponsor us, so we won't mention that.
If Arrivederci did burgers, it would probably have a bacon deluxe.
Absolutely. It'd just be the best burger ever, because they're the best pizzas ever. The pizzas are a metre long.
They are a metre long. Now, again, if you are in Brisbane, or you're within... means of getting to Brisbane, go to her Facebook page, search for the Football Sack, and watch the video.
Yes.
There's the video of the Italian national anthem and you
from the last time.
Italian match, and that will make you want to go tonight because it's something special.
It is. So get there, and if you get there, take some photos or some audio and tweet us, and you might make it on the podcast.
I mentioned the Football Sack there, they might give you something.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
Having said that, I went to Boost Juice stuff and I had to pay for mine. So, we're not famous enough yet. SMG, Sports Management Group Australia, are champions of ours and sponsor us, and we would like to thank them as well. And I believe that's all our sponsors for today. Let's have a really quick look at tomorrow's fixtures. We mentioned Italy-Uruguay there. I'm done predicting at this World Cup. I'm absolutely done. I'm not going to make a fool of myself anymore, so I'm not going to pick them. But I would like... I'm not even going to say who I'd like to see, because I'd like to see Italy and Uruguay sort of get through. Yeah. Probably more so Italy. I'd probably enjoy... the Italian.
I think you look at those two sides and go, which side has more of a chance to challenge for the title? I think it's going to be Italy. So I'd probably like to see them go through. And a draw will get them through, but a win by either side will also see them steal that second place.
Yep. Costa Rica, England. Huge game for England.
I'll be shaking their boots playing a top nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't it be great to see Costa Rica top the group?
Oh, God, wouldn't it, to be honest.
Because I don't think anybody... in the world predicted them to get out of this group. So if they top it, it'll just be added to the list of things that have made this tournament great. So
in saying that, if Costa Rica topped the group, how much would you be spewing if you topped the group in Group C and had to play Italy or Uruguay as runners-up?
Yeah, you would. Ooh. Well, interesting. Yeah. So what's going to happen in Group D? Is that who they're lined up against?
They are Group D.
They're Group D.
Yeah, so Group C are the ones they're playing.
And who's in Group C?
Well, Colombia, Cote d'Ivoire, Japan, and Greece.
That's that group, isn't it, right?
And all of whom can still qualify.
Yeah.
So imagine, bloody hell, imagine Greece qualifying.
We've just torn them to shreds as well.
The word permutations is going to be thrown around a lot over the next couple of days. So,
might play some attacking football.
I'm just going to go out and say it. Fingers crossed Greece don't get through. I don't want to watch any of their games. So I won't be watching Greece, Cote d'Ivoire either. So, The kickoff times all appear staggered here, but I'm guessing that that's all, local time.
Yeah, so it's all 2 a.m., 6 a.m.
Yes, cool. So Japan, Colombia is the other one that we have not mentioned in there. So I think Colombia is going to win because Japan have been pretty rubbish tournament.
Yeah, quite rubbish, quite bad.
All right, this podcast is going to be too big for people to download, so we're going to have to wrap it up and come back tomorrow. But it's nice that we've got lots to talk about because we thought that we were going to run out of material when the group stage finished. Still might. Hasn't finished yet. Thanks for joining.
There's a difference between material and good material.
Massive difference. Thanks for joining.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. All right. Bring home the bacon.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.